is a wonderful God. Mm. Amen. Let's take the word of God. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been talking about Joseph in the Old Testament for a couple of weeks, and we've gone through many details about his life. And through his life, we've seen many high points in his life, and we've seen many low points in his life. You know, many high points, you know, we see, you know, one of the high points is when, you know, God gave him the dreams, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars and the stalks and all that stuff, the dreams. That was a high point. I mean, that was God-ordained dreams. But also on the low side, we see where the hatred of his brothers towards him. So he went from high, where God gave him dreams, to a low dreams, or to a low point where there was hatred of his brothers towards him. The high point was also when his father Jacob gave him a coat of many colors, signifying the priesthood, that when his father would die, that he would take over as the priest of that home, and he would be the one that would make sacrifices and do all that on behalf of the family. That was a high point. One of the low points is when they stripped off his coat of many colors and they threw him in a pit. It was a well that was there that had been dried out. There was no water in it, but his brothers threw him there, and that was a low point. Can you imagine your family throwing you into a pit and you don't know if they're going to take you out or not, and you can't get out on your own? Also, we see another low point is when they sold him to the Ishmaelites. They said they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And someone last week was telling me that in their Bible that they had, that 20 pieces of silver amounted to about $35.60. So, I mean, that was years ago, but, you know, $30-something. So that's what they sold him for. That was a low point. Well, they sold him, and when he got to Egypt, they sold him to Potiphar, another low point. Then as they sold him to Potiphar, it says his wife, you know, Potiphar's wife, accused him of doing something that was evil, of trying to rape her, if you want to put it that way, and she lied about it. Another low point. But also one of the high points before that was also when Potiphar had made Joseph, you know, business manager of all his assets, everything. He trusted him with everything, a high point. And also we see that another, if you want to say high point, was that Joseph refuses Potiphar's wife's advances. He does not go in that direction. And to God, that was a high point, because he refused to do sin and evil. And he chose to live a life that was holy unto God. And then we see also another low point in his life, where they take him and Potiphar has him thrown into prison. Now, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't know of anybody that has been in prison lately, you know. I don't know. You know, in a physical prison. Sometimes we're in a spiritual prison. But, you know, not too many. But this guy was thrown, Joseph was thrown into prison for something he did not do. He did not do what she accused him of. But Potiphar believed his wife over his business manager that he trusted everything with. And this is where we're going to pick up. It says, Joseph's circumstances of life was up and down, but his commitment and steadfastness to our Lord never changed or wavered. Never changed or wavered. What a godly man. You know, and what's amazing what's amazing to me more than anything is this. We have the opportunity, because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, we have the opportunity, and we've done this, to have the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of us. We accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Joseph, they didn't have that in the Old Testament, where the King of Kings would live inside of them. Now, there were outward things that they would do, and the Spirit of God would come over them at certain points. You can see that in Scripture. But we are living in a time where we actually say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. It's called born again. We ask him to forgive us of our sins, and the King of Kings comes and lives inside of us. How much more should we as Christians, because he lives inside of us, live a life of purity before our God? Before him. You might say, well, man, you know, Joseph had to resist. And yes, he resisted. And thank God, you know, you might think, well, this is odd. But thank God he was thrown into prison. Because we don't know how much longer he could have resisted her. You see, sometimes we don't realize that the things that God puts in front of us and we have to go through is for our best interest at heart. Because can you imagine, here Joseph is in this house day after day after day after day. There are servants there. He's in charge of everything. And he has to be in that home to run it. And Potiphar's wife is there day after day coming after him. Because they, you can read it, he's a very handsome man. And she's coming after him. It even says at one point, and you can read it in the commentary, or you can read it in Josephus' books that he wrote, that she even had a party, and she invited all kind of women from all over the land to come to see Joseph's, how handsome he was. And she wanted him. And here we see, because of God's mercy, we don't know how Joseph may have been breaking down. But it says that she had her advances at him, and he left out of that house, and she accused him of certain things, and they threw him into prison. And probably that was the best thing. Because you see, we as Christians cannot be promoted to where God wants us to be until his timing comes about. And the working of the Holy Spirit working in us to get us to a place to be able to do the will of the Father with a clean heart towards him. Without selfish ambitions. And here we see he resisted. So you see, maybe the best thing that could have happened at that time was for him to be thrown into prison. So he wouldn't mess up. Not saying absolutely, but it could have been. Here we see, and we're going to start reading. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 39, please. Genesis 39. Now, I need you to listen very swiftly today so I can finish. They laugh. You're saying, Pastor, speak swiftly. Okay. I appreciate you guys so much. It says this in verse 20. And Joseph's master, talking about Potiphar, because that was his master at that time, took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, I want you to turn, because in the commentary, I thought that was good. I want you to turn to Psalms 105, please. Psalms 105, that gives a little bit about this scenario. In Psalms 105, look at this. Starting with verse 17, it says this. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Oh, I'm sorry, not everybody's there. Sorry about that. Okay, everybody's there in their Bibles? Good, okay, thank you. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Until the time that the word came, that the word of the Lord tried him, and the king sent and loosened him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Here we see he just wasn't thrown into prison, but they threw him into prison behind the iron bars, and they clamped his feet, and probably his feet for sure, with fetters and stuff, and that hurt for something he did not do. for something he did not do. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, sometimes we may be accused of something we don't do, and look, that gets me upset, and, you know, and I understand. Hey, look, I understand. We've all been accused of stuff probably we did not do, huh? We've all been accused of something we did, though. On the other hand, you know, we have both sides. But it probably is worse when we're accused of something that we did not do. Doesn't that raise something like an anger on the inside of you? And, buddy, we're ready to defend ourselves. Man, we're ready to get out there, get a lawyer, do everything we have to do, and just take things under control to make sure they know that I am innocent. And you're, I'm not against lawyers at all. Maybe at certain times we have to do certain things for whatever reasons. That, you know, and that's just whatever. But you have to understand, he had no rights at all. None. This man was accused of something, and because he was accused of it, they said he was guilty. They threw him in prison. They lashed his feet up with fetters. And probably, it doesn't say, but probably his hands, and even sometimes they would do the neck. They said he was in great pain. Can you imagine? Here Joseph thought, I'm living the high life now. You know what I'm saying? Before prison. Here I am. You know, I'm coming from being sold to a pit to now I'm in Potiphar's house. I'm the business manager. I'm in charge of everything. People listen to me, and when I say something, they do it. And now all of a sudden he's thrown back into prison or in prison, hurting and in pain. But God is still with him. And people, that's a lesson we need to understand. That doesn't matter, if you want to say it that way, what we go through. What matters is that God is with us. Because he can change all situations around. We may not understand it. We may not see how he sees it. But we trust in him. And he can change the situations around if we trust him like Joseph did. But look at this. Look at this. In Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Go back to that chapter if you would. Verse 22 and 23, it says this, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. People. Whatever Joseph did, it prospered. Whatever Joseph did, it prospered. Even when, you know, we don't know. It doesn't give us a time frame from the time that he was thrown into prison. The fetters were put upon his feet for sure, and he was in chains. To the time he gained acceptance by the prisoner, by the guard there, to be in charge of everything. We don't know how long that was. It could have been a year, could have been 2 years, could have been 5 years. We're not 100% on that. But he won favor with the guards. He won favor with the prisoners also. And they made him in charge of everything in prison. It seems like everywhere Joseph went, he rose up. Not because of him, but because of the God in him and how he obeyed God and he kept his heart pure before God and he didn't murmur and complain about where he was and what was going on. He kept things in here and went to God. Now, I know you might say, well, you know, it doesn't say that he complained or murmured. It does not say that he complained or murmured. Murmured means complaining. As one preacher said, when we murmur, we're just giving praise to the devil. I said, that's kind of correct in a way, you know. But when we praise our God, we're giving him praise and honor and glory unto him. And he stayed in that prison. But God took him to a place where he had authority in that prison because God brought him up. And let me tell you, it might look like it's all lost wherever you are on your job, at home, wherever it is. Let me tell you, stay humble before God. Listen to his spirit. Let him lead and guide you, and he'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. However he wants to do it. However he wants to do it. When the circumstances of Joseph's lot might have indeed induced despondency, indifference, inaction, carelessness, and inattention, divine grace so upheld and cheered him that he was able to go about his duties and with joy and cheerfulness, so that everything to which he turned his hand succeeded. Everything. It is not our surroundings or circumstances which bring about happiness and joy. Unfortunately, the world thinks it does, but it doesn't. It is one's walk with the Lord, one's relationship with the Lord, one's nearness to the Lord, which makes a penitentiary into a palace and a hell into a heaven. And sadness into gladness. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That's the kind of God we serve. Fear God. Fear God and who he is. Be not afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of your God in your life. Let him move. Let him act. Let him do what he needs to do to get things out of us and put things in us. Let him work in us as we allow the Spirit of the Lord to do at will what he wants to do. Is the joy of the Lord, as Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In chapter 39, it says Satan uses Potiphar's wife, and he used her to put Joseph in the dungeon. In chapter 40, he uses the butler to keep Joseph in prison. Important quality in Joseph's life or his character, and I know I said this earlier, was that he never murmured or complained, people. Honestly, not one of us should ever let complaining come out of our mouth. And that's truth, and that's myself included. Not one of us. No one in America should ever complain about anything, basically. Now, we may have certain things we think are right and wrong. That's totally different. But people, we should not complain about things. Every one of us could drive after church and go eat somewheres. We can drive after church and go shopping and buy whatever we want, basically, to a certain degree. I mean, you know. Every one of us has a place to lay our head on a nice pillow and a nice clean bed. Every one of us can put the air conditioner on in the morning or evening and put the heater on in the morning or evening. We're blessed by God, people. And you know why America has been blessed so greatly? It's because of the God that we trusted in. You look at those Muslim countries and you look at all that stuff, the Buddhist countries, and you see how poor they are, most of them. It's because of who they serve and who is their God. You might say, well, America's losing, you're losing its Christian heritage. Well, buddy, it hadn't been lost in us. We're still trusting in him. Yes, maybe some it is. But it's still in us. And we believe our God. You know? We believe. Don't let murmuring, complaining come out. Complain to God and let him deal with things. Can you imagine Joseph not murmuring? And he could have murmured and complained. And I know all of us here, some people have had some rough lives. I'm not trying to put down anything. I know some have had some rough lives. You know, if I had everyone come up here and share about your life from the time you were born to today, it would astound me. It would astound you, because you'd hear things that I would say that you never thought. But you see, even through that, God's mercy and grace has been upon us. And God brought us to a place where we could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we could accept it, and it was put in our hearts and in our lives. And God has changed us and made us into what we need to be. And, you know, we were saved, we're being saved, and we're going to be saved every day. Because, you see, God is continually working in our hearts by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because, you see, God, the Holy Spirit, is working in us. And he has to take out certain things in our hearts and lives and put certain things in. That's like Joseph. Joseph could not have been second in command at 17. And you might say, well, it's because of his age. No, it's not because of his age. The Bible says that he was wiser than his brothers. But the condition of his heart, what God sees in him, God knew what needed to happen in his heart and life as he trusted God. And, you know, we are the same. God works in us. And he sees what needs to happen in us to get us to a place where we can do what God wants us to do specifically. Now, in between all that, God is still using, just like Joseph, God is still using him to do certain things, to tell people interpretation of dreams and all kinds of stuff. But to get Joseph to a place that as he stands in second in command of the whole land there, that he could rightfully give to everyone equally and not partiality. To give equally. Now look at this. Joseph also had a beautiful character, was that he was unselfish. He had an unselfish interest in the needs and sorrows of others. Now we know he was thrown into prison. Look at chapter 40, please. Verses 6. Started with verse 6. He's in there. We don't know how long he's in there for. And all of a sudden, it says, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Talking about the butler and the baker, okay? Those two people. They were in prison with Joseph. You know, Joseph had been in charge of everything. God was working in his heart. And all of a sudden, these two guys were thrown into prison because they did something wrong. Whatever it was, we're not 100% sure about that, but they were thrown into prison. And all of a sudden, one day, Joseph gets up in the morning, and the butler and the baker are up, and they're just sitting there, and Joseph comes in, and he says this, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officer who were with them in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So here we see Joseph. He was up here, down here, in the circumstances of life, okay, that came his way. Now Joseph is steady in his relationship to the Lord. Now, the circumstances of life, things that happened to him were up and down. And that's just like us. Things that happen to us, we're high, high, then all of a sudden low. High, high, all of a sudden. But yet our relationship to the Lord needs to be steady, continuously, people. It's continuously. See, we don't live, and I know that's hard, we don't live by circumstances. Now, circumstances affect our bodies and our minds. But the spirit man on the inside of us is steady. That's the Father inside of us. And we live with steadiness. Just because I may wake up tomorrow morning and I don't feel saved doesn't mean I'm not saved. Thank God, huh? Wake up, oh my God. Give me my first cup of coffee here. Y'all didn't make coffee yet? What's going on? Drive to work with one eye open. You know, Lord, have mercy. But just because we don't feel like we've been saved and born again and filled with the Spirit and God is, just because we don't feel it doesn't mean, that doesn't mean we're not that way. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are a child of God. We are living under His grace and mercy. Praise God. God is moving in our hearts and lives. We're living unto Him. He's moving in our hearts and lives. You know, that's who we are. But here we see Joseph comes in. He sees the butler. He sees the baker. They've had dreams. And we know what those dreams are. I can't get into that too much. And he says to them, he said, God is the interpreter of those dreams. Now, first of all, we need to realize this. God gave the butler and the baker those dreams. Okay? Remember, it's all for Joseph. God is preparing Joseph to be second in command. God gave those dreams. Now, you might say, well, you know, a dream of one would be killed and the other one would be back in his position. That's, hey, God just gives the dreams. Circumstances fall where they may. And the dreams were given, and Joseph looks and says, look, God can interpret. And all of a sudden, you see, he turned their eyes to God, and then God gave him the interpretation to both of them. The butler would be brought back to his original position, and the baker would be, his head would be cut off and killed. You know. But as the butler left, because it was Pharaoh's birthday a few days later, and all of a sudden they had this big party, and Pharaoh let the butler come back. And the butler went in to his original position. Now let me get to this. Joseph sees the butler walk out of prison back into his original position. And Joseph tells him, tell Pharaoh about me. Don't forget about me. Don't you think Joseph, just on a physical stance, was thinking, man, this is my ticket out? We think that way sometimes. Huh? We think, well, if this happens and this happens, yeah. And we think we have God. We know Him and we've planned it and we know. And we don't. Because in that next chapter, chapter 41, verse 1, it says that Joseph stayed in prison another 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. From the time he was 17 to the time he was 30, he went through the ringer with highs and lows. But it took everything he went through, from the time he was sold by his brothers, from the time that God gave him dreams, sold by his brothers, went into the pit, sold to Pharaoh, the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, and then finally in second in command, was from 17 to 30. God had to prepare him and his heart, people. You see, in Scripture, I know the world says that man is evolving into being good. We're being better. That's not what the Word says. The Bible says that man's heart is evil. Yeah. It's evil. Now, You might say, well, and it is. And only God can change the heart of a man and bring it to where it needs to be. To work on it. To change it. See, that's why there's so much ruckus about racism. It won't change until the Holy Spirit moves and changes the heart of a man and a woman. That's the only thing, people. The only answer to all the ills of our country, because that's where we live in America, is the Holy Spirit. That's all. Because it's the Holy Spirit that changes things and puts a love in his heart for his fellow man, his fellow Christian. And it says that for 2 years, oh man, the butler was living high on the hog there in Pharaoh's house. And here old Joseph was still in prison. Now he was in charge of everything, but he's still in prison. And one day, salvation came. Pharaoh walks out. And he walks out by the Nile River. Now you have to understand why he walked by the Nile River. Because they thought life came out of that Nile River. I mean, that was their god almost. They had so many gods, but that was one of them. And God gave him some visions or dreams, if you want to, visions, because he was up. A vision is something when you're up, awake, that's a vision. When you're sleeping and you have a dream, that's a dream. Okay? That's the difference. And it says that 7 fat calves or so, if you want to put it that way, came up. And then all of a sudden, 7 lean calves came up. And the lean ones ate the fat calves. And so he looked around to everybody in his camp. Now this is God saying, who can interpret? And he gave him another dream, you know, to coincide with that. It was 2 of them, but it was the same meaning. And he looked to all his magicians. He looked to all the people in the land, the evil, and saying, who can tell me what this means? And not one of them could tell him. See, God's in control. The day before, Joseph slept his last night in prison. He didn't know the next day that he would be in Pharaoh's house, second in command. He wakes up that morning. And, you know, Joseph wakes up, does his daily chores, and the butler comes in, and he's talking to Pharaoh, and he says, you know, I remember when I was in prison, that there was a young man that interpreted a dream for me, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, after looking throughout his whole land, could not find anybody, says, get him. And man, they rush to that prison. Joseph's up doing whatever. They shave him, put on some nice clothes. I mean, he didn't know what was going on. Oh, Lord. And then they tell him, look, you're meeting with Pharaoh today. Look, okay. Fear not, be still, and see the salvation of our God. And all of a sudden, it says that Pharaoh's there sitting on his throne, and this servant comes in, Joseph. And the dream is spoken about, and all of a sudden, he tells Pharaoh what the dream means. Word for word, what it means. And Pharaoh knew exactly what that man said was the truth. That there would be 7 years of great harvest in the land. Then there would be 7 years of famine. And those 7 years of famine would eat up those 7 years of harvest. There would be a lot of grain there, but it would sustain them for the 7 lean years. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh gets up from that throne room, that throne. And he says, this man, the Spirit of God is upon this man. The Spirit of God is upon this man. And he takes him. He gives him a ring. He puts on other clothes on him and says, Joseph, you're second in command over this land. What I thought of was, what was Potiphar and his wife doing when she heard that the one she accused of and lied about was second in command. And I wonder if she thought, as she lived in torment, they're coming after me? Is he coming after me? Because he could do whatever he wanted. People, that's God that can raise a boy up to be second in command from a land far away and bring him through certain circumstances and bless that boy, bless that man, and put him in a place of authority. That's the kind of God we serve. That we serve a God that can change things. Fear not. Be still and see the salvation of our God. I want to read this to you. Verse 45 of that same chapter says, "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath Paniah, and he gave him to wife the daughter of whatever priest of on." And Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. But this is what I want to say. He changed Joseph's name. Joseph means Jehovah will add. Zaphnath Paniah means life more abundantly. Jehovah will add life more abundantly. You need to get it. Joseph means Jehovah will add. God will add. And Pharaoh changed Joseph's name because he had to have an Egyptian name because he was second in command. And he changed his name to life more abundantly. So here we see God looks at Joseph and it says, Jehovah will add life more abundantly. And we know the story, man. God moved upon this man. God reconciled him and his brothers and did tremendous things in that area. People, we serve a God that can bring healing. We serve a God that can heal relationships. God will add life more abundantly. That's the kind of God we serve, people. Praise God. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. In overcoming things in your life, in bringing you a place of authority where he wants you to be, let God be God. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we worship you, we praise you, and we honor you, Lord, this day. Father, we worship you, we praise you, and we honor you this day. Father, we worship you, we praise you, and we honor you this day. For you are the great God, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Before we dismiss today, I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? Are you his child today? If something happened to you today, would you open your eyes in heaven? Would heaven be your home? If you're saying, Pastor, I don't know. You need Jesus. If you don't know, please raise your hand so we can pray with you. So we can pray with you. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all pray together. We have two people that raised their hand. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Your will be done in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may look this way. Amen. Amen. Look, guys, before we go, Leonard, why don't you come on up? I want you to close us in prayer, if you would. I'll tell you when. But you can come. Amen. I just want to tell you this, people. Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys, every one of you. We love you, and we appreciate every one of you. We thank God for who you are. We thank God for who you are. And I pray that you have the greatest week this week. That everything you do, as Joseph put his hands to, it said it prospered. That everything you do with your hands, it will prosper. You might say, what if I have to beat my kids? That's okay, they'll prosper. I hate to say, you know, you discipline. Discipline. They'll prosper. You keep them out of hell. You keep them on the right track. Just do it right and with a good spirit and heart, okay? Never in anger. But we love you guys, and we thank God for you. And you are all precious to us, and we thank God for you. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead.
Father, we come today, Lord, just thanking you for this day, Lord, and we're thankful for your word that you have sent our way, Lord. I just pray a special blessing on everybody here, Lord, financially, spiritually. Just give them just keep their mindset on you, Lord, that you show them the right way to go, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.